Hi, and welcome to Life in Balance, the official podcast of Balance for Blind Adults. I'm your host, Naomi. I work as an occupational therapist for Balance. This podcast is about all the things that help people who are blind or living with partial sight live life to the fullest. Each episode, we will speak to someone with lived or professional experience about tips and tricks for how to adapt everyday activities to vision loss, either for yourself or for your loved ones. So come along and listen to learn about living life in balance. For today's episode, I'm joined by Balance staff member, orientation and mobility specialist Bill Fung, as well as community member Nisha Mitchell, as we talk about traveling both close to home and internationally. Thanks for joining me, Bill.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, Naomi. My name is Bill. I'm one of the certified orientation and mobility specialists at Balance for Blind Adults. And what that means is I work with clients who are using canes and guide dogs to help them travel safely in the community and learn cane techniques and skills and strategies to adapt.
So my first question is, where are the most popular destinations that people request orientation to?
So I would say in general, most people start by requesting to learn about their own neighborhoods, especially if they've just moved, and learning how to kind of safely navigate to, I would say, essential services and places like grocery stores, banks, medical offices and clinics, schools, and of course the transit system that connects all these points of interest. Those are the kind of the general ideas of what people mostly request. And then during the pandemic, a lot of people, you know, were focused on just being able to get exercise. So sometimes it's as simple as just being able to walk around their block, walk to a park, and just kind of get a refresher on some skills that maybe they've become rusty on just because they haven't been able to go outside as much. So it kind of depends, but in general, it's mostly about learning their own neighborhoods.
Okay. And what are your top three safety tips for traveling with a white cane or a guide dog?
So first, I would say to work with an O&M instructor to learn the cane techniques and to have an appropriate cane first. But aside from that, I would say the same safety tips for both cane users and guide dog users is to make sure you have a cane that's in good condition and to have a backup cane. And I've worked with some guide dog users who find it useful to have a white cane in their backpack or purse in cases where they may want to double check a scenario that they're not sure about, that they've encountered with the, and they can't quite understand what's happening with the guide dog, then they can kind of confirm it themselves. The second tip that I'm thinking of is paying attention to your environments and not to wear earbuds that cover your ears as to block out, important sounds from your environment, such as traffic and emergency vehicles and things like that, or construction sites. You don't want to be listening to your favorite song over the traffic, especially when you're doing a street crossing. And then the other one that I was thinking of was to make sure you plan as much as your route, do as much of your route planning before you leave the home so that you have an idea of what to expect on your journey and to have an alternative route option if you do encounter anything that's unexpected, such as construction. Maybe your sidewalk is no longer available to you that you normally walk on, so you need to have a backup plan to get around it. So those are my general tips for traveling.
Okay, awesome. What are your thoughts on tech for O&M?
I think technology has come quite a long way over the years, and I think it's a great thing to enhance an individual's independence, and it's a great way to supplement their O&M skills. I would say the most prevalent piece of technology that's come around the past couple decades has been the smartphone, and it's it's a really good device just because it allows you to do so many different things on one device. In the past, there were a lot of standalone devices that it could only do one thing. And with the smartphone, you can, it's your phone, it's your note-taking device, it's your GPS, it's many things. It's a way to connect to other people, to have them kind of virtually guide you through certain apps like Aira or Be My Eyes. There's been a ton of apps that have been developed for the blind and low vision community. Some other commonly known ones that are used are Soundscape and BlindSquare. There's been a lot of Bluetooth devices to allow people to have a more hands-free experience, such as having bone conduction headsets, which don't block out the audio because it doesn't plug your ears. And even Bluetooth glasses that have built-in speakers so that you can have more of a fashionable statement and looking pretty cool, but also it serves a function as well. And I think maybe eventually it might even be able to have a camera on it so that you can kind of see through it that way as well, in terms of like having virtual assistants. So those are some of my thoughts on technology. I think it's a great thing to have and use. The only caution I would have there is to make sure that you've developed your other skills before adding on to the technology, because it can be overwhelming. So yeah, just take your time with learning the technology first.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, that's cool. I think you mentioned, I've heard a bunch of those, but it's nice to hear kind of you lay out the list like that again, just the fact that there's so many options out there.
Oh yeah, and there's many more that I haven't mentioned. Those are just some of the common ones that I've come across and that have that some clients have enjoyed using. So they're always coming out with new ones and things like that. Even smart canes people are trying to develop. I think it's good that people are integrating technology more and more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my last question is, what are some things for people to consider when traveling long distances or even internationally?
So some considerations that I was thinking of for both short and long distances is to take the time to prepare and plan. Like I mentioned earlier, you want to plan your routes and take time to kind of understand all aspects of your journey. So especially when you're taking transit, it's important to know what schedules, what your bus schedule is, your train, subway, and other transit options. You want to make sure you have an alternative plan if you miss a connection. So if you are traveling by plane, you know, you'll have connecting flights or connecting trains. So if you happen to miss one, what do you do, right? You have to have a plan. You can't just sit there and panic, right? So you want to make sure you know what your overall plan is and then what your backup options are. And if you're going to a place you're not familiar with, whether it's a train station or an airport, you can contact staff at those locations to have someone meet you and provide assistance to help you get, you to your gate, or help you kind of with checking in. Because those are very large places and they're not easy to navigate for sure. Some of those places also have support from Aira. So for those that don't know, Aira is an app on your smartphone that connects to people who are provide assistance verbally through your phone. Basically you point your camera in front of you and then they can kind of see through your camera and give you verbal guidance that way. And certain institutions like airports and certain schools and places like that, Aira provides that service for free in certain places. So that's kind of one thing to kind of consider. And then the other thing I was thinking of is making sure that you let your family and friends know where you're going and when to hear from you. And then, have have a check-in with your loved ones so that they know that you've arrived at your destination. That's especially if you're doing a long trip, you want to make sure that you know, people are thinking of you and know that you're safe.
All great tips. Is there anything else about traveling, whether it's in the community close by or far away, that you feel like it's important for people to know? For example, one of the people on the podcast, Nisha, she talked a lot about how much she loves to travel, and you already talked about flights and mm-hmm. getting assistance there and things like that. I don't know. I know I'm going off script here, but like, okay. Are there differences between different modes of transportation, like things to think about on planes versus trains versus automobiles?
Good question. I'm trying to think. I think maybe the differences might be for I guess during the pandemic, I've noticed that the level of assistance in terms of getting sighted guide may vary from place to place. I know that the Go station that I went to with the clients, you know, staff were not allowed to have physical contact. And one staff member that I spoke to suggested that the client allow them to grab onto their cane and kind of like guide them by pulling onto their cane. So the client and I were not too happy about that suggestion. So we suggested, you know, having, you know, if they were not allowed to do it because of protocols or procedures, to provide more verbal guidance, just like walk ahead and just have some audio cue and to know where they are positionally just from their voice. Unfortunately, I haven't had any experiences working with clients during the pandemic at airports or things like that, so I don't know if they are as strict in their protocol in terms of getting sighted guide. Other places that I've not travel related, but you know, in stores, staff have kind of adopted the, you know, I grab onto one side of the shopping cart, you grab onto the other side of the shopping cart. So I think it's been a very unique experience during the pandemic in how people have adopted the whole sighted guide piece based on, you know, levels of comfort and protocols that these places have kind of set out. It's a difficult thing for all the clients to kind of manage, just because it's quite a range of experiences and comfort levels for everyone, for both the clients and the staff. So I guess just be ready to adapt and be open to different suggestions, or maybe be prepared yourself to offer a suggestion if the person you're going to doesn't quite know how to provide that assistance.
Or I think you bring up a good point. In the future, I feel like, you know, regardless of what happens with the pandemic, people are aware now that if you're not feeling well, you need to stay 2 meters apart. So if you need to go out while you're sick, or for whatever reason you need to go out and get sight assistance, but maybe touch isn't going to work for a number of different reasons, those suggestions around providing a lot of verbal description works, or I like the idea of the shopping cart. I've also heard of people carrying a tether as well. So I think you're right. I think as we go forward in terms of the evolution of travel, we might come up with more and more creative strategies to provide options that way.
Yeah, no, I've also heard of the tether. I think some people have said, you know, things like belts and things like that. But I think different people will have different thoughts on how their opinions on using certain, some of these, you know, suggestions. Maybe it's a little bit embarrassing to kind of have a tether or things like that. Maybe not as dignified. So I think it's important to just have those options, and then you choose one that you're comfortable with. The one that I would not suggest is having someone else drag you by the cane, because I think that would send the wrong message to the public who is seeing it, that would think it's okay to grab onto someone's cane, which we don't want to promote. So yeah, that's the only one that I would be a little wary of, but the other ones, yes.
Fair enough. Okay, well, I'm glad we kind of tacked that on at the end, just to talk a little bit about the future of travel. Who knows where it will go.
I also got the chance to sit down with Nisha, who is blind, to discuss international travel and how she navigates airports.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nisha. I'm from Scarborough, Ontario, which is a suburb in Toronto. I love traveling, experiencing different cultures, meeting new people around the world, and a good beach is my favorite too. So yeah, that's a bit about myself. So my favorite place to go to is Trinidad and Tobago. That's where my family is from. It's twin islands, so Trinidad is one island where my family lives, but Tobago is more of like a relaxation, you know, beachy vibe. So I love going there for, I love going to Tobago for that aspect, the relaxation, the beach and the food. And I love visiting my family in Trinidad. So that's somewhere that I tend to go more often than other places. Places that I have been that I love is I've been to Taiwan. I've been to Jamaica. I have family. My godparents are in Florida, so I love visiting there. And I have an aunt and uncle in New York, so that's another place that I love to visit. I accidentally ended up in Japan. That's another story.
Really?
Yeah. I was on my way to Taiwan, and my itinerary said Toronto to San Francisco, San Francisco to Taiwan. But then when I got to San Francisco, they handed me a boarding pass for Japan. I was like, no, I'm going to Taiwan. They're like, no, you got to stop in Japan first. So I ended up in Japan for a few hours. Well, you know, free trip. You know, I got to tour a little bit of Japan. But I would like to go back there to experience it in more depth. Mm-hmm. But those are some of the places that I've been to. I would love to visit Japan, Thailand, and other parts of the Caribbean that I've never been to, such as Grenada and St. Lucia. I'm sure the list is a lot longer. If I could touch every continent at least once, that would be great.
Very exciting. I'm wondering, you know, in your experience, is there anything that you have to kind of think about or prepare for when you're traveling as a person with a visual impairment versus what a sighted person would think about when planning a trip?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I've always been a very organized person, but I feel now my organization skills have kind of intensified a bit. So before, I never used to have to think about journeying through the airport. I would just, you know, as a sighted person, just go in and then you just figure it out as you go along. But as a VIP, I find that I have to know the layout of the airport. If it's a new airport for me, I have to know the layout of the airport ahead of time, and that's how I would navigate it. Well, I'll say this. I use Aira, which is a good way of using the airport. So what you can do with Aira is you can give them your itinerary beforehand, so they know what airport you'll be going to or what airport you're starting from. So if you choose to do it by yourself, navigate an airport by yourself, you could call Aira and say, this is Nisha calling. I emailed my itinerary for my travel today. And the Aira agent will pull it up and be like, okay, I got it. Are you ready to go? And they're like, yep. So they will, once I get out of my car, They'll tell me how to get to my ticket counter. If it's Caribbean Airlines, they'll tell me which way to go. They will help me with, you know, pulling out my passport, giving the agent whatever it needs to get done. And if I choose to have assistance through an airport agent, then I would just hang up with Ira. Or if I want to do it with Ira, I would just tell the agent at the desk, no, I'm fine. I have the person on phone with me who's guiding me. And the good thing about Ira is that it's free when you're in the airport. As far as I know, I haven't seen any charges on my account. So I believe in certain instances, it is free to use when you're in the airport. So that's the biggest thing I have to worry about when I'm traveling on my own. But as far as preparing beforehand, like I said, I'm very organized. So I always put my clothes in cubes. So I separate not by pants, shirt, socks, whatever. I separate by occasion. So my going out, my evening clothes will be in one cube. My casual clothes, another. My swimsuits and undergarments in separate cubes. That's how I like to organize myself. That way when I pull out something, I'm like, oh, I know what this is and it's for this. And it will, you know, I know when to wear it. And I put Braille on my cubes also. So that way I'm not going through each cube to try and figure out which one is which. I'm like, okay, I pass my hand over it. Okay, this is my swimsuit. So I know which cube is for what when I'm packing. So that's really helpful also. As far as that goes, and those are the biggest things I have to worry about. If I'm going somewhere where I've never been before, I actually haven't done that yet, like gone solo somewhere that I haven't been before. I don't know how that will look yet. I've watched some really interesting YouTube channels. There's one called Planes, Trains, and Canes.
Great.
If you've heard about that one, but she travels the world and discovers how it would be as someone who's completely blind to navigate planes, trains, and buses in various parts of the world. So I've watched her in, I think she was in London, and I think another episode was in Japan. And she shows how, as a visually impaired person, she navigates the city. So that has really given me, you know, the motivation to try these things. And she's alone. Well, she has a videographer, but the videographer is not helping her. The videographer is just capturing everything. And she does everything on her own, navigating the city and going on excursions and stuff like that. So I like to watch other people's adventures to learn about how to do it on my own. I guess that's another aspect of being resourceful and doing my research, which I love to do.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing resource. I'm definitely like, once this is over, I'm going upstairs and pulling up that YouTube channel. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about traveling when it comes to, you know, VIPs or people who are interested in going, but, you know, maybe feeling a little nervous about it?
One thing I recommend doing is maybe the first time, I think the first time it's a bit hard to do it on your own. So my first time traveling without sight, I actually went with a family member. Like they brought me, like we went together to the States. We went to Florida together. And that eased my anxiety as well as my family members' anxiety. So if there's a way where you could do it with somebody for your first time, I would recommend that. But I think once you get those first time jitters out, there are so many resources to help you in an airport. I mentioned Ira, but for example, in the States, when I was coming back from Florida, I found out that you can actually have somebody, a family member or a friend, guide you through the airport. So you don't have to use their agent. You could have someone that you trust help you. And what's good about that is normally with airports, you're handed off to different people. So it takes a lot longer to navigate an airport. But when you go in with a family member or a friend, it's a lot smoother and you have a lot more freedom, because if you want to go duty-free shopping or you want to buy some lunch or you need to go to the washroom, you have someone to take you. Whereas if you use an airport agent, they don't have the time to do that with you. It's kind of like, you know, point A, point B, and nothing in between. So when my godmother walked with me through the airport, they actually gave her a boarding pass and it said to nowhere on her boarding pass. So she was able to, you know, take me through security, take me to get something to drink, get something to eat. We did a little bit of duty-free shopping and we sat in the lounge area together. And when it was time for me to board the plane, she walked me to the gate and they're like, okay, this is where you stop. You know, you can't get on the plane. And they took me on the plane. She just turned around and went home. So that was phenomenal. I don't think they do that here at Pearson Airport, but I found that was amazing if you're feeling nervous about traveling through an airport alone. And also for VIPs, there are some great groups like Travelize. If you're someone who doesn't want to wait for a friend or family member to take you, Travelize is a great travel company for people who are visually impaired. I have heard it's a bit on the pricey side. I do wish we had something like that here in Canada. Maybe, you know, one day we will. But it's a great group where you can get someone who, I don't know if you've heard of Travelize,
Naomi. I haven't. Like, I'm just writing all this stuff down right now.
They've had some really good excursions. They do a lot of adventure, leisure trips around the world. Because of COVID, everything's been canceled, but I know they went to Thailand, Costa Rica, parts of Africa, the Caribbean, even they've been to Canada too. And what they do is every visually impaired person gets a sighted guide. So it's like one in one. You could either bring your own, or they have people who are sighted who don't mind guiding people who are visually impaired. And so that way, you know, you're with somebody for your entire trip. It's never the same person. One day it might be, you know, one person. Another day it will be someone else, which is a good way for you to get to meet people and, you know, make new friends. And their excursions are really good too. They do whitewater rafting in some of these places. They do boat cruises. I remember in Thailand, I saw that they were doing a cooking class. So all their excursions are catered to the visually impaired community and focused on our senses and focused on, you know, making sure that we're comfortable and we're able to enjoy the trip as well as a sighted person would. So I just wish Canada had a group like that. I haven't been able to find one yet, but that would be something I would like to take part in if I could.
Yeah, for sure. But even if it's not, you know, hopefully I agree that we have something like that in Canada, but it's good to know that that is out there, even just as an idea. All right. Well, I feel like you've given me lots, and the audience, I'm sure, lots to think about and lots to get excited about. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next time for another episode of Life in Balance. The content of this podcast is not a substitute for medical or professional advice. For more information about Balance for Blind Adults and our programs and services, please visit us at www.balancefba.org. Find us on LinkedIn or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Balance for Blind Adults.